For the last couple months or so, every time I do a mailbag, a lot of the questions are, what do you think about this guy as head coach or GM? And I usually don't answer them because I figure we'll just save it all for a later date and make a whole episode out of it. Well, today is that day. It's Twitter Tuesday, and that means I am reviewing your head coach and GM suggestions here on the Locked On Vikings podcast.
Ooh-wee!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. Shows on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. On Location is the official hospitality partner of the NFL. It's the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Visit onlocationexp.com/SB56 for more information or search Super Bowl On Location. So today is Twitter Tuesday. Usually I would just answer your questions, but today I wanted to do a little bit of a themed episode, and I wanted to review your head coach and GM candidates. So I put out a call for them, and I am going to list them off in order from my favorite to my least favorite. So right away, we will go into my favorite head coaching candidate, at least out of the ones that you guys suggested. It is far from comprehensive. I didn't see many college coaches suggested in there. Guys like Matt Eberflus were not suggested until after I had like put together the suggestion box and stuff. There are a few names out there that didn't make this list. That doesn't mean I'm against them or anything like that. They just didn't get to the list in time. So by no means comprehensive, but I am taking your suggestions and ordering them in the way that I like, and we'll talk a little bit about their background. So the first one came from Skullbot, who said, and a whole bunch of people said, Brian Daboll of the Bills. Now, this is weird saying this after they just kind of got embarrassed on Monday Night Football by the Patriots and all that, but like crazy win game, whatever, right? In general, that Bills offense has been fantastic, and so everybody wants to hire him. But here's one like principle that I'm going to stick to a lot here. I want to go a little deeper than just going and finding an offense you like and saying, let's take that offensive coordinator. And I see a lot of like, here are my head coaching candidates for the Vikings. And I'm going to call out because he writes for CBS now, which means he's public and I can do it. Tyler Fornes did a piece at CBS a while back that was like all offensive coordinators. And he did that like on purpose. He said, I only ever want to do offensive coaches. I disagree with that. I think that if you are limiting your pool to half of the coaching search, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. Just because the guy's on the defensive side of the ball does not mean the guy can't be forward thinking. It doesn't mean the guy can't respect analytics. It doesn't mean the guy can't respect like aggressive offense and stuff like that. I think you're really doing yourself a disservice if you miss out on the defensive guys. However, my first guy is an offensive guy anyways. So Brian Daboll was a Belichick guy for a long time. He was in New England for the better part of a decade over two different stints. And then he did a 4-year OC stint at a bunch of doomed places like Cleveland in 2009. I think that was the Pat Shurmur years in Cleveland, a bad Miami team, Kansas City right before Andy Reid got there, like really, really dark places. And all those offenses sucked. Then he went back to Bill Belichick after he kind of flamed out there. And now the Bills hired him for another try at offensive coordinator. And he's been fantastic. And what I really like about it is that he has tailored the offense to Josh Allen and to all of those players, to Stephon Diggs and to the players that they have. And that has turned into a high passing volume offense. But I think the biggest thing is that he's adapted and he's been through a bunch of different schemes. He's been to a bunch of different places. And it seems to me like he's really good at tailoring the team around the players that he has rather than just saying, this is my scheme. I don't think he would come and build Bills Part 2. I don't want him to build Bills Part 2. I want him to build an offense that fits the players that he has in Minnesota. And I really like him for that. And we're going to get to GMs a little bit too. We did the same thing for GMs. And there are a couple people from the Bills that I think would pair very well with Brian Daboll for kind of the same reason that they did. They built everything with like a big purpose. Next up, Riley Osborne Hudson suggested my favorite defensive coach, Todd Bowles. I think second stint coaches are, I think, an underrated prospect because, I mean, Todd Bowles coached in New York with the Jets, and that was a dysfunctional Jets team. He was kind of a lame duck, and he had those players playing. He had those teams winning more than they deserved to win with the roster he was given by a poorly managed Jets team, and to me, that makes him a good head coach candidate. Now, yeah, he had to lay low for a little while after that flamed out, but what he did to Kansas City in that Super Bowl was absolutely incredible. I love him as like a defensive whiz, and guys have developed under him. So I really like he checks that leader of men box for me, because he took over an absolutely hopeless locker room and made him believe. That means a lot to me. The next one comes from EGS, who says, and a whole bunch of other people have said as well, Byron Leftwich. I like Byron Leftwich. I don't love Byron Leftwich. It's like the two guys I've mentioned already are the two that I would love. I like Byron Leftwich, though. He's been endorsed by Tom Brady. That's really powerful. And especially because he's green, a Tom Brady endorsement, like Tom Brady's word carries a little bit of weight because he's a little young. He's been with Arians forever. Since his playing days, when he was a backup for the Steelers, he was with Arians, and he's followed Arians around. So I think of him as like an Arians light. There's a lot of downfield. There's a lot of kind of spread out concepts, air raid concepts, and you know, route concepts and stuff. And I really dig that. And I still think he's close enough to his playing days and commanding a huddle. He was the starter for a few years in Jacksonville. So he's done that. He's had to be the leader of men. And it checks that box for me as well. Like, I'm not worried about him just being like a strategist, pure whiteboard guy like I am with some of the candidates further down the list. The next one comes from Tyler, who says, if we went defensive, I think Dennis Allen would be interesting. I don't think the dumpster fire he was launched into in his first head coaching stint was a very fair reflection of him. And I agree with that. In Oakland, it was like bad. It was a bad roster. It was a bad situation. And Dennis Allen didn't work out. New Orleans defense has been fantastic, whether or not their talent is there. They have a lot of talent. And when it is there, it's elite. And when it isn't there, the defense is still very good. I like that resiliency. Again, that ability to adapt to the players you have instead of just forcing guys to play whatever. It's a big pitfall I want to avoid with a new coach. And the Saints are really good at changing with the times. So that adaptability, I really like that also. The other one, this is an anti-suggestion, but I put it in anyways because I wanted to talk about it. The Real GOP said, people keep saying that Andre Patterson is the next head coach somewhere. Why? Did you see the game? That final drive? What justifies the love of this guy? So I don't know if the Real GOP is familiar with Andre Patterson's resume, but he's been a defensive line coach since the 90s. He's got all kinds of people that have come up under his tutelage. Like, I mean, go back to John Randall, but even in his second stint with the Vikings, he kind of turned Everson Griffin from a rotational guy to the superstar he is. Danielle Hunter is a big one. He's gotten play out of guys like Stephen Weatherly. He's gotten rotational play. That's a seventh round pick who's been a rotational guy, is pretty good. He's got his project like DJ Wonnum, fourth round pick, probably playing on about a fourth what we expect from a fourth round pick. Just a lot of defensive linemen have come through. You could really list them forever. But also, he checks that leader of men box. Players like Sheldon Richardson and Dalvin Tomlinson have mentioned, like, the reason I came to Minnesota was because I wanted to play for Andre Patterson because he's got that reputation around the league. So there's a lot of, you know, he would command the locker room. He's really good at being a position coach. And like that sort of ability to develop and get players to play hard for you, a couple of boxes that not a lot of guys check at the head coaching spot. Now, he wouldn't have any experience or anything like that. He doesn't have much experience, if any, calling plays. So there's some gaps in that game, but I don't mind the idea of an Andre Patterson thing. I don't think it would just be Zimmer part two. A fate worse than Seth said Eric Bieniemy. This is a million people say Eric Bieniemy every year. So here's the deal. He's an Andy Reid guy, so it would be very similar to all the other Andy Reid disciples that have come off of that tree. So you're just kind of hoping you get the Andy Reid high-flying offense. You need to draft for that. You need to be to build that with a purpose. And when we talk about the GMs, we'll get to that. And there's a history here because he was Adrian Peterson's running backs coach. Thing is, he's only been a running backs coach and an offensive coordinator under Andy Reid. So I don't know what kind of passing game Eric Bieniemy likes. Andy Reid's calling that, right? And he's coordinating that passing game. So there's a little bit of an experience problem there. And then, of course, he's got a few off-field issues that don't bother me all that much. They seem like either misunderstandings or things that are way in the past. But you can see why teams are kind of scared off of Eric Bieniemy. I want to get to all of the head coaches and the GMs. But first, listen, you are here listening to Locked On Vikings for the power of knowledge, and you switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money, because with Boost you get the power of a free 5G phone, so you can listen to all your favorite episodes of Locked On podcasts. You get the power of 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line, so your family can harness all of that brain power as well, and the power of one of America's largest 5G networks, so you can do it all at the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save and all that knowledge you'll gain, just how powerful will you become? Switch to Boost Mobile, find out. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Free phone is limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverage are not available everywhere or for all phones or networks. See boostmobile.com for details. Super Bowl 56 at SoFi is less than 100 days away, and On Location, the official hospitality partner of the NFL, is the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Select your exact seats and choose from elite experiences featuring an exclusive pregame celebration with NFL legends, five-star LA hotels, and food by the great Wolfgang Puck. Visit onlocationexp.com/SB56 for more information or search Super Bowl On Location. That's onlocationexp.com/SB56 or search Super Bowl On Location. Thanks once again for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. And let us continue. The next one came from Adam Feist. Few people said Nathaniel Hackett as head coach. Aaron Rodgers has spoken very highly of him and even called to recommend him for the Atlanta job. So I'd be a little bit concerned we're getting Joe Philbin here. The Aaron Rodgers made an offensive coordinator become a head coach thing has happened in a few places, and it hasn't worked out great. So I'm a little worried about that. Like, Nathaniel Hackett and that offense is called very well, and they do a lot of, I don't know, kind of smart things on offense, but I think a lot of the things they do on offense only work because it's Aaron Rodgers. That's fine for the Packers, but I don't know if it would work if you don't have Aaron Rodgers. So I'm a little bit worried, like, is he riding Aaron Rodgers' coattails? But hey, you know what? That endorsement does matter, I think. Much like the Tom Brady one, that does give him some points. And I don't think I would mind Nathaniel Hackett, but I think if you're going to go with offensive whiz kid, go with Brian Daboll or Byron Leftwich or Eric Bieniemy before those guys, if you ask me. Jeremy Parr had an interesting suggestion, Doug Peterson, and then say keep Spielman and reload and stuff like that. But just focusing on Doug Peterson as a head coaching candidate. So his exit from the Eagles is complicated, and basically they ousted him in a power struggle with like Carson Wentz and Howie Roseman, and it was like a sort of interpersonal problem, and he was the one that lost that power struggle. And because I get the sense, at least, I don't know this for sure, but because he pulled the quarterback in the second half of the final game, even though it was a meaningless game, he pulled the quarterback and it felt like a tanking move. And even though he denied all that, the players were very upset and they thought that he was tanking and he was losing on purpose. And the players were upset about that. And he sort of lost the locker room that way. So I'm a little bit worried about like culture with Doug Peterson, and like that Philadelphia culture got kind of toxic under his watch. And I don't know if that's like a Carson Wentz thing and it's not necessarily Peterson's fault or not. It's just something to look into. But I'm also a little concerned about how his offense, the one he ran in 2017 to get to that Super Bowl, plays in the 2022 NFL, where defenses are defending different things now. Everybody's a little better at RPOs. Is he just running the Andy Reid offense, but is he running an old version of the Andy Reid offense, or is he going to adapt? And if he adapts, will he be able to run that thing as well as he ran the 2017 version of the offense? I've got some concerns with Doug Peterson. I could probably talk myself into it, but I don't think I'd be very excited. Eric Meisel said a very interesting name, Josh Boyer, defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins. He's another defensive guy who, you know, there's a lot being made out of a little on that Miami roster. Every one of those Miami players is playing above the sum of their parts, and that's a testament to coaching. My question is that all Brian Flores, or is this a Doug Peterson, Frank Reich situation where the true guru is Josh Boyer? Hard for me to know that. And I admit I don't know a lot about Miami, so I'm not that excited about that one. But definitely a name that would be interesting to hear that more would come in. Young Sandwich said one, probably the most common one I got was Kellen Moore. And he's very low on the list. Let me explain to you why. He's the hottest candidate ever, but he's a big X's and O's nerd. And I don't think he checks. For me, he does not check that leader of Ben box. He does not inspire in the way that I know Todd Bowles can, or I know Andre Patterson can. He is notoriously a soft-spoken kind of strategist, kind of keep-to-himself guy that can be a leadership style, but he is not like a command-the-huddle kind of guy. He never really had to command a huddle as a player. He's always a backup. So great strategist, good brain in the room, so to speak, but I don't know if he commands an organization and builds a culture the way you want. He kind of, to me, feels like somebody who should probably just be an offensive coordinator. I don't know if the promotion to head coach, it's like, yeah, he's a good offensive coordinator, but promoting offensive coordinator to head coach, which is a different job, you would just kind of be rewarding him for what he already has done rather than making a decision on what you think he will do. And the Dallas offense has been sort of inconsistent. They've had some clunkers on offense, even with a healthy Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. So it's not like he's this unstoppable whiz at all. I mean, same thing with Brian Daboll, and to be perfectly fair, but I would kind of want to investigate that a little more. Justice McDonald's Alexander, in a reply to somebody else who suggested Joe Woods, also endorsed Joe Woods, I just wanted to get another name mentioned in there, Joe Woods is interesting. He's the defensive coordinator for Cleveland. And as a DC, he has been doing some interesting things schematically. He was also DC in Denver for a couple years. Those defenses weren't great, but this Cleveland defense is like, okay, but they've also had some stinkers where they gave up like 40 to the Chargers, right? He's just really green. And I think if we're going to go for like a defensive strategy whiz, go with Bowles or Dennis Allen or shoot, even Andre Patterson, and he can keep all the old pressure packages from Zimmer, right? If you want to go with like defensive whiz, I feel like there's better options than Joe Woods. Also, Joe Woods was a defensive backs coach in Minnesota for like 6 years, and that track record was bad. That was like the Chris Cook years. So I think you got to get over that too. I don't want to be someone else's training ground, a la Clint Kubiak. I don't want to be the place where somebody can freely be bad so that they can learn all the tricks of the trade and then go be good somewhere else. I don't want to be the farm team, right? That feels kind of like what you'd be doing if you made Joe Woods your head coach. Bossy said an obvious coach choice is Joe Brady. There's no way he became a bad coach within the last year. So I feel you there, but I don't like it. And here's the deal. I don't know if he's a bad coach or whatever. I don't think but he's just raw. That's fine. And the way, like the thing about Joe Brady I don't like is the way that offense is constructed is, I think, poor. I think it shows rawness. I actually see a lot of the same things in Joe Brady as I do in Clint Kubiak. To me, it would be a similar move as hiring Clint Kubiak as head coach. He's kind of green. He just got fired for insubordination. You got to look into that problem. But he is kind of, I guess, a martyr because he wanted to pass more. So everybody's like, oh, Matt Rule's the one who is wrong, and we'll just make him the head coach. But I don't think that it's the move right now. It feels closer to like John DeFilippo than anybody. And I just want somebody with a little bit of experience. I love getting a young, fresh mind. And all the guys at the top are still pretty young and fresh by head coach standards, but not that green, goodness. And then Nick Mondelli at the bottom of the list, sorry, Nick, said, no joke, maybe Ryan Ficken. I have a soft spot for special teams coaches because I think I'm just a little tired of the head coach that brings his system with him. I get it. I put you at the bottom of the list because I don't agree, but I get it. He's a little green also. He only has this 1 year as special teams coordinator. He was an assistant for the rest of his career. But I get you're going for like a John Harbaugh situation, and sure. And like, hey, that was Belichick was a special teams coordinator too, right? Like I get it. And it gives you, you know, you're not dealing with one side of the ball or the other. So I understand wanting to do a special teams coach, but I think he should probably stay as special teams coach, circle back to this conversation in like 5 years and we can talk about it. Right. But if I'm going to just hire a special teams coach, I'm going to go with like John Fossil, who has that leader of men thing, right? And he's gets people hyped up, and that's a special teams coach. Give me somebody that's like an ace special teams coach that the league respects, not just the guy who happens to be in house. So a couple things. I'm going to do GMs too, so stick around for that. But also, I have a few questions saved that you guys asked. I'm not going to have time to get to them, but I will save them for later. So if you ask just a regular question for Twitter Tuesday, I'm going to get back to you, or at least I'm going to try to, as long as the question isn't dated. And if it is, then my apologies. But first, it is cold and it sucks outside. It was like 9 degrees outside in Minnesota on Monday. That sucks. Why don't you go do a beach vacation with beachbound.com vacations? You could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, discovery, togetherness, immersion, rejuvenation, and most importantly, warm temperatures. With beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you, no matter what you're looking for. What are you bound for? Visit beachbound.com today. All right, moving on to GMs. We're going to do this the same way. You guys suggested a bunch of GMs. Here is a non-comprehensive list of GMs in order from my favorite to my least favorite. And my favorite came from Viking Theorist, who has a couple in here, who said Will McClay. Now, Will McClay is Dallas's George Payton. He is a white hot GM candidate. He gets interviews every single year. He turns them all down because he loves Dallas, and I think Dallas has a really good package. Maybe Dallas wants him to take over someday as GM, so they're really trying to keep him and groom him and stuff. If we could poach that guy, basically do to Dallas what Denver did to us, that would be amazing. But he has turned down a lot, and that's a very difficult thing to do. So if we didn't do it, then that's fine. But that's my first choice here. He is just so well-respected. He does a lot of the GM stuff in Dallas. I think Dallas always has a really good roster. I think you can probably credit him a little bit for the Dak Prescott pick. There is a lot of stuff that he did in Dallas that's really exciting. So if you can pry him away from Dallas, then that's great. But if not, the next guy on my list is from Ryan Nelson Kane, who said Quentin Harris, who is the director of pro personnel in Arizona. Very interesting case. He got that job in 2019. He was in the organization. He's been in the organization for about 10 years, which is not a lot of time at all by GM standards. So he's a little green, But he got the job in 2019 from just being like part of the pro personnel department. And then he actually was made director of it. And what happened to the Arizona Cardinals in 2019? They had the first overall pick and they rebuilt. And they rebuilt with a damn purpose. And that's what I always say. If you're going to rebuild, do it with a purpose. Have focus. Have an idea of what you want. Get players that fit that. And Arizona, I think, has done a fantastic job of that. And I think that's why they're so good this year. Not to mention the Kyler Murray pick worked pretty well, although it was kind of a no-brainer in that draft. So not too many lollipops. He's only had his job for 3 years, but I really, really like it because he has built with a purpose. Arch, I'm actually taking two from Arch as well. The first one is Joe Shane, who is in Buffalo. He grew up under Bill Parcells in Parcells' weird Miami phase. So they kind of grew up there. And then he got poached by Brandon Bean when Brandon Bean took over in Buffalo. They were old pals. They'd worked together in Carolina before. He joined the Bills in 2017. And what happened in 2017 with the Bills? They had the year where they made the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor, and then they drafted Josh Allen and they began their rebuild, which I think was also similarly like with a purpose. The Bills did a fantastic rebuild and they didn't tank to do it. And I love somebody that proves that they can do that. So like a Shane Dable marriage could really work if you want to build like the Bills. And I've been game for that. I think the way the Bills are constructed is really good. Monday Night Football notwithstanding, that was a weird one. But I like that they are focused and they built a team that works for the players they have, and they got players that worked for the team they wanted to build. I love the focus to all of that. Hello, my name is, and a couple people said, like, what about somebody from the Baltimore front office? They didn't say any names, but they said, you know, Baltimore is always really well constructed. Why don't we poach somebody from there? And that's interesting. The name I would come out with for that is Pat Moriarty, who is their Rob Brzezinski. He's their cap guy, but he's also like their vice president or their senior vice president, I think, of player personnel. So he's also like the next guy under the GM. So I guess it would be him, but he's the cap dude. And then George Kikinis is their pro director. And then Joe Horitz is their college director. So those three guys kind of make up cap, pro scouting, college scouting. And that works together in tandem great in the Ravens, and it's a really well-run organization. But I don't necessarily know about like poaching one of those guys and not taking the other two with. If you could do that, that would be fantastic. But I don't think you can quite take what makes the Ravens special by just taking one guy. But if you wanted to do that, it would be Pat Moriarty, and he's a cap guy. And I wouldn't be opposed to that because, yeah, stealing from Baltimore seems like a good idea. JV Swaps said one I like reasonably as well is Ed Dodds. The Colts have built a very smart thing, a very smart team outside of the Wentz thing. I don't love the Wentz thing. Also, Ed Dodds was in Seattle for like a decade when they were drafting the Legion of Boom, that 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013 stretch where they built a Super Bowl contender. Ed Dodds was in their college scouting department for that. And I would have to imagine has some responsibility for building those crazy good Seattle defenses. And then when he left, Seattle's drafting fell apart and the Colts drafting got a lot better. That's some evidence. It's interesting. Along the same lines is one from Viking Theorist who said Jeff Ireland. A lot of people said Jeff Ireland. Jeff Ireland's a really hot GM candidate. He is essentially the same thing as Ed Dodds, but for New Orleans. And if you remember that 2017 New Orleans draft with like Ramchek and Marshawn Lattimore and Marcus Williams and all these really, really unbelievably good players, that was Jeff Ireland was the director of college scouting for that draft and many other very good Saints drafts. So you can kind of start to see some pairings going on here with all of these. These are all ideas that I would like. Some I would like more than others. But thinking about a guy like Joe Shane or Quentin Harris that can really build with a purpose and then pairing them with a coach like Todd Bowles that can get those guys going, or somebody with a very particular scheme like Bieniemy or Leftwich or even Dable. Like, I love the idea of like Dable and Quentin Harris, where you would have this, they would get together, they would talk about this very clear picture of what they want the team to be, and then they would go execute it confidently. I really like the idea of that. What I'm not so hot on is Mike Borgonzi. That came from Cranky Feather. So he's the Chiefs guy that they promoted Brett Veach instead of. They were both co-directors of player personnel. Brett Veach got promoted in, I think it was 2017, to GM, and Mike Borgonzi became just the regular player director of player personnel, solely held that title. It reads a little bit like, just please make us the Chiefs. And that's really hard. I don't think you would just be able to copy paste become the Chiefs. The Chiefs did build with a purpose, and that was great. You know, they built their Mahomes rocket arm, lots of fast guys offense, and then the Steve Spagnuolo defense, lots of aggression, blah blah blah, lots of safeties. So they did build something kind of on their own beaten path, and I like that for sure. I just don't know how much to credit Mike Borgonzi instead of Brett Veach with that, because Veach got the promotion, but Borgonzi is going to have a lot of power in that organization, so it's not going to be nothing. Another one from Arch, really interesting name, is Brian Gain. Very interesting case here. You might remember him from a Houston debacle. So before the first thing, there is an Equal Employment Opportunity Act complaint against him, which you'd have to look into. I don't know if that's legit or not, but putting a pin in that for now, that could be a deal breaker. But he was handpicked by Bill O'Brien in Houston. And after 18 months, the Easterby toxicity set in, and then Easterby canned him to give Bill O'Brien full power in 2018, 2019. So he basically built his career in Houston for years as an assistant general manager, trying to become the general manager. And then Brandon Bean actually took him for a year. So he built his career in Houston for years. And then Brandon Bean actually took him to be the personnel director in 2017 when Brandon Bean was building this, was kind of reconstructing this Bills front office. And then the year later, Bill O'Brien said, well, why don't you just come be GM? We'll give you a promotion if you come back to the organization. And then he did that. And then 18 months later, Houston and all the Houston toxicity happened, which I don't necessarily blame Brian Gain for. And then Bean took him immediately. People really seem to like this guy, but he's such an unknown that he's kind of at the bottom of the list by default for me, because I just don't know. That guy's been involved in a lot of weird stuff, and I got to make sure it's not his fault. And then last on the list, and also probably most suggested, so sorry for the hot take, came from Connor M. And many others, Lou Riddick from ESPN. His resume to me is just subpar. It's just less impressive than all the other guys on this list. And that's why he's in media. He was a pro scout and a director of player personnel for a bunch of years. He's been out of the league, out of NFL for 2013. I think he gets a lot of attention for talking about analytics in public, but everybody is doing analytics now. Nobody's just flat out rejecting analytics, not even Dave Gettleman. So I don't know if that's necessarily an advantage. He worked for the Alex Gibbs Washington teams and then the late era McNabb and immediately post McNabb, Michael Vick Eagles teams. And then he got washed away when Andy Reid got fired and the Eagles kind of reorged from there. So he got washed away in that switch. And then he went into broadcasting. Maybe he's learned a lot since then for sure. And, Mike Mayock got a job, right? But do you want to do that? Because the Mike Mayock thing is not working out in Oakland/Las Vegas. So maybe he's learned since then, but I just am not a big fan of hiring a media guy that does not have nearly as much experience as the other guys on this list. But again, very much a non-comprehensive list. There's a lot of other interesting guys. You could promote Jamal Stevenson is one thing that I've seen a lot of people suggest. Take Kelly Klein out of Denver if the Vikings like her so much. But those things are both things you would do if you were interested in continuity. And I don't know if we are interested in continuity. So there's a lot more conversation to be had, and only so much can be said in a half hour. And I know this podcast already went way long, but I wanted to get through all of these people. So thank you for that. So tomorrow, I think we're going to do a little crossover Wednesday. We might do crossover Thursday and post it Thursday morning. I want to talk a little bit about what happened in the Lions game. We'll talk about the 2-minute defense and stuff. But I won't pain you with that too much because we got to move into Steelers mode. We are in a short week. So Thursday Night Football on the Steelers, we'll start previewing that as well. Till then, check out the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. They'll help you get your grambles straight. I'll see y'all tomorrow. And as always, Skol.